Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, it's Healthy Gut Girl, and it's Stuff Your Doctor Should Know. Happy mid-May. Oh man, I'm so excited right now because Dr. Charlie, my husband, has been working on an online program for a few years, and he wasn't quite finished with it, and then this whole thing happened, it was the impetus for him to then complete the program and put it up, and it's up, and it's amazing. Okay, it's called Dedicated Method. Our business is called Dedicated Wellness, and this program is called Dedicated Method. Balance your misalignments, get out of pain, get stronger. And the core benefits are to balance your misalignments. The Dedicated Method will introduce you to where your weak areas are that could be supporting your imbalances, and then systematically activate them to restore balance. So, you know, if you have like ongoing lower back pain or ongoing shoulder pain, so what this does is it helps you to figure out what those misalignments are and then how to strengthen and support the rest of your body in order to get out of pain and to sort out those misalignments. So it restores balance and stability so you can work towards getting out of back and shoulder pain for good and get back to living your life again, and then get stronger. The Dedicated Method will help to correct your posture so that you're better prepared and stronger for what life throws at you, be it your sport, hobby, or your home life. And then so it's a 5-week course, and it doesn't necessarily have to be taken in a course format. So it's not something that, you know, that if you don't stick to, you can't just start right back up. You know, it's like it's an ongoing thing that you have access to. And the course offers discovering why you may have back and shoulder pain and introduction into how to move away from it, myofascial routine and mobility drills to target the patterns, activation of your core to begin balancing your misalignments, shoulder rehab and posture correction, intermediate core and posture correction, simple new workout for the entire week to practice what you've learned with repetition, how to traction the lower back and neck to get out of pain. Now, this is one of my favorite parts about it. I'll get to it in a second. So then there's elbow pain rehab exercises, core strength test, and 5-point quick posture check. So all of that is in the course. So one of the things that, you know, Charlie has always taught people that come in to see him for pain, for chronic pain, is, you know, he can only do so much. You can buy a 20 pack and go see him 20 times. But even so, you know, as much help as he gives people, there's still the homework. And a lot of people don't really do the homework. It's different if you injure yourself and then he helps you get out of pain in that way. But if you've got something you're chronically dealing with, you know, like sciatica or thoracic issues or, you know, chronic neck stuff, all those things can be rehabbed. And people think they have to go see a chiropractor for the rest of their life in order to do it. And when people come in to see him, he's like, listen, yes, I can help you, but I'm not the magic bullet. I'm not the answer, although he has been called the magic bullet many times. He does do magical things for sure, but he's basically encouraging people, look, do these exercises at home. Try these things to help you, because it's one thing to get adjusted by a chiropractor and to do a couple of exercises and then spend, you know, 24 more hours of your day supporting the misalignment, supporting the problem. You know, even while you sleep, you can support the problem. And so what he's saying is, if you educate yourself with this stuff, you can do this at home. It's all stuff you can do at home. And a lot of people already do it. A lot of people already use it. And the coolest thing about it is that he developed it because of his persistent back pain, right? He had some crazy back issues since I met him, since he was a child. And, you know, he was always going in and out of having to, you know, do damage control, because here he is trying to work with people and do jujitsu and be as athletic as he is with all of this pain. And he finally rehabbed his back with this method. Then he took the method and turned it into a program. And now it's, you can buy it right now. So go to dedicatedwellness.com and then just click on the learn more button for the dedicated method and you can check it out. So I'm really proud of him and I'm really excited for people who can benefit from this. I mean, who doesn't have this kind of back pain, you know? And it's really affordable. So check it out. And then, of course, you don't want to forego your supplements when you have back pain. You have to support your minerals. You have to support your magnesium burn rate. You have to lower your magnesium burn rate because this puts you in constant and consistent mineral deficiencies, which feed into, if not altogether trigger, these chronic back pains, chronic back pain and whatnot. So you want to be able to support that. And of course, I use Jigsaw Health. And they have different types of magnesium that you can check out, powdered ones to stir into a drink and drink down every evening before bed that calm you down. And then there's also, you know, a magnesium that is combined with a B vitamin, B complex, Mag SRT, and that's my favorite. And so actually I do both of those. And then there's other ones. So go check it out on jigsawhealth.com and you can use your coupon code, which is Kitty10, and they'll give you $10 off your order. Every time you order, it's not just a one-time order, $10 off. So that's the bomb. And okay, I'm having a guest today who has been with us before, who I was completely blown away by his amazing, amazing knowledge of astrology. I cannot speak today. Somebody give this girl a cup of coffee. Okay, he has amazing knowledge of astrology and correlates it with healing the body. Okay, it blows my mind. And then he goes off into these wonderful worlds of supernatural, paranormal, wondrous, unknown, fantastic mysteries that I am super addicted to, super engaged by. I love this kind of talk. I love what he knows. I am thrilled by this guy. And I want you to just enjoy it. It's a wild ride, friends. And we'll talk after. So how have you been doing since our last meeting?
You know, I've been doing great. We're living in very interesting times, and I hopefully today will get to reflect on what this 2020 actually means symbolically, astrologically, as we go forward, because we really want to have 2020 vision. We don't want to have hindsight.
It's definitely the most peculiar times. In fact, just from a personal note before we jump in, and maybe you, I'm sure you have something to say about this. I'm going through these phases where I feel like I'm like literally like I'm dreaming, especially when I start to imagine how this is going to resolve itself, how it's going to unfold, and if we're going to return to normal. I start getting a little bit, and it's not like panic, it's just like I start getting this overwhelming concern, and then it just seems completely surreal, and I feel like I am going to wake up, because I really feel like it's all a dream, like an illusion, and I feel like I'm just going to wake up and go, oh my God, that was the craziest dream I've ever had.
You know, see, I've been expecting this. I knew this was going to happen like around 2010. I said medical martial law will be, you know, that's when to get scared. That's when they're going to institute their new world order. So yeah. I've been kind of psychologically been preparing for this moment in time. I knew it was coming. And I knew that 2020 was going to be the year that changed the world, and we will never go back to normal. So wow. we really have to understand psychologically what we're in for. And it's some big, big changes that are happening, and it's going to be profound. It's not all negative either, but for some, it will be very tough. But we have to be ready for this, and we have to have, you know, psychological immunity to protect ourselves as we enter a new age. So it's very significant. And you see the whole world is stuck in fear and paranoia, and And they're really trembling. So it is a very interesting time.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I find, because, you know, I'm very outspoken, and but I like to engage people in healthy discourse. I like to have conversations about everything. I like to share what I'm learning and being exposed to, especially the information that's outside of our normal paradigm, right? The mainstream information we're getting. I like to share info that's outside of that. But I'm coming up against so much resistance, because I'm not coming out and saying, hey, listen, this is how it is, guys, and this is what we need to do, guys. And I'm just saying, hey, wow, check this out. This is an interesting take. This is new information. We should integrate it into what we know and try to move forward with knowledge and with wisdom. And people are really, really resistant to this. What do you think that's about? Like, they're just like, no.
Yeah, that's a psychological schism, because people have been believing in the system. They work for the system. They're educated by the system. They have their financial ties into the system. Mm-hmm. And so they're so into the system. And if you burst their bubble, it's going to be devastating for them. So they're holding on to it with their last bit of strength that they have to protect this illusion. This illusion, this Maya is coming down. The truth has to come out. And that's what I always say, 2012 was the age of awakening. 2020 is the age of revealing. And so we have to be prepared for this awakening and this revealing, this truth. And so truth is like a light. When a light hits you, the first thing you do is turn away. And then you have to get acclimated to the light. And as you get acclimated, then you start seeing, you know, more clearly. But everyone's been so misinformed their entire lives. We haven't been told the truth about anything. And then when you start peeling this onion back and start exposing lie after lie, you know, the deceit, the deception, we've been hoodwinked, we've been bamboozled, you know, we've been, you know, going down, we're going to go down the rabbit hole, and we're going to explore, you know, what this is from a mystical point of view, because I said from day one that this was an occult ritual being played out on the world stage. And when I say an occult ritual, this is ancient. This isn't just happening over the last, you know, 50 years. This is going back to ancient Egypt. And so we have to really understand who our masters, the controllers, the architects of control, who's been, you know, guiding us through our evolutionary, you know, progress or lack of progress, whatever you want to call it, but from eon to age to age. And so we're at this very important date in history that's really going to define humanity as we move forward. So when I say this was an occult ritual, there's three main events that happened in this year. Started with the fires, correct? Remember, we had the fires in California, the fires in Australia. What does that symbolically represent? That's the from the ashes comes the phoenix will rise from the ashes. Mm-hmm. The phoenix represents that double-headed mystical bird that's replete throughout all fascism, military might. And so it's always like, so that set the table for, we're entering into a fascist state, and they're letting you know symbolically the phoenix will rise. And as the phoenix rises, we see that double-headed eagle in Masonic stuff, and we see it in, you know, Nazi Germany. We see it everywhere, but it's a very fascist, warmongering type of bird. So that was the first event that started the year. And so that set the stage. That was setting the table of what's to come in 2020. Then we had the whole Kobe situation. Remember the there's a lot of weird synchromystic connections with Kobe. So when we look at Kobe, we have to understand, you know, he's a very significant, powerful man in our imaginations. You know, he stands for the great masculine energy. And there was two films in Hollywood depicting Kobe crashing in a helicopter. Okay. There was two in 2011. Him and Kanye West were making a Nike commercial, in which in the Nike commercial, the helicopter crashes, but Kobe doesn't die. Kanye West dies. And so that's telling you something mystical that maybe Kobe didn't die. Okay, that was one scenario. Hmm. But then we go into the other cartoon character in 2017 where they play out the whole thing showing Kobe dying.
That I saw, right. In a helicopter
crash. So we have two things coming from Hollywood, and that's called predictive programming. That's what they call kind of the revelation of the method. That's the psychopath's code of conduct that they have to tell you how they're going to sacrifice you. And they do that, and they put it in the movies. They put it in front of your, you know, in front of your nose. So it's like hidden in plain sight. So
yeah.
We got two Hollywood things talking about Kobe. Then Kobe dies, you know, in a helicopter crash. Now, the date that he died is very significant. So in occultism and Satanism and black magic, they always look at numbers. And so on 5 weeks from one day from the winter solstice of 2019, 5 weeks and one day is the Dumar ritual, which is a ritual about human sacrifice. And when you take the 5 weeks and one day, that's January 26th of 2020, the day we had the occult sacrifice. And in that sacrifice, it states that young girls between 7 and 17, and of course we know three young girls at 13 died on that plane crash.
Right.
So there's an occult ritual that's called the Dumar ritual, and that's in the FBI playbook on certain powerful dates and times when these occult rituals will happen. Then we have another Kobe incident. His last game was played at the Staples Center, and at the Staples Center, we know Kobe is number 24, and at the Staples Center, he's playing Utah, and he puts up 60. His 24 is 6. He puts up 60 points, goes out in beautiful fashion, you know, and, you know, very interesting. He puts up 60 points on his last game. That's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. So we have 60, and his number is 24. That's 6. So that's telling us we're going to go down Route 66 to see where this coronation is taking us. And the day that he died, or the day before he died, LeBron James, the king represents the crown, he was going to surpass Kobe in the scoring title, become the third greatest NBA scorer in league history.
Right.
So on his Nike shoe, the night he knew he was going to pass Kobe, he wrote on his Nike shoe, remember, Nike is the logo of the ring around Saturn, Saturn representing death and darkness and father time and aging. So so LeBron writes Kobe 4, and he doesn't write F-O-R, he writes the number 4. And that's where we're going to get into this numerology of 4. So he writes Kobe 4 life, then he surpasses Kobe, and then the next day, Kobe's dead. That's the passing of the baton. This is a ritual. This is an occult ritual. Now, coming back to Utah, I got to finish this one little Kobe.
No, keep going. I'm just writing down my questions. Go ahead.
Coming back to Kobe, his last game was in Utah. Now, what's significant about Utah? That's patient number one of the coronavirus, where Rudy Gobert, the 7-foot-1 titan, gets the diagnosis, and then he's seen as, you know, just kind of like not taking it seriously, and he passes the virus to the all-star, the darling all-star of the NBA, Donovan Mitchell. So Rudy, because he wasn't careful and all that, he passed the infection to Donovan Mitchell, and everyone crucified Rudy Gobert, setting the stage for what? Social distancing. Mm-hmm. So they're pre-programming us, because that's the Titans. It's being played out on the stage, and so they're preparing us of what's to come. Mm-hmm. So that's some interesting Kobe connections. I know you had some questions.
Well, okay. So that means that they rigged the helicopter to crash. Others had to be involved to make this happen, right?
Absolutely. This is where, when we go down the rabbit hole and how they keep these secrets and all this, it gets very complicated. And I don't have all the nuances of how they actually, you know, design this from stage one to stage two.
Right.
It absolutely is a ritual.
So
when you see it in two movies, And then you start looking at the numerology and you start putting these pieces together. And we're on the cusp of really some astronomical changes that relate to 22 and relate to 4. Mm-hmm. 24, Kobe's number.
Right.
So we're starting to see this connection, and we'll get into the 20s and the 4s going forward. But I know you have another question.
What about, okay, and then so LeBron, him writing that on his shoe, it would that mean he's participating, or would that mean that he's unknowingly participating?
Could be both. He could absolutely know what's going on because he knows the baton is being passed to him. Mm-hmm. So he's in on this. He's been groomed since day one. I mean, psychologically, this guy is very sound, and you know, he speaks the right words. He's very intelligent. He's a titan. He's gifted to the max.
Mm-hmm.
So whether he's in on it or not, I don't know exactly, but my feeling is he knows.
Yeah. Okay.
So the baton's been passed to him, and now he's the darling of the NBA. He's the King James. He's the crown.
Uh-huh.
You know how we call Kobe the Black Mamba? You know when that Mamba came online?
No.
He was playing against the Magic, of course, and he scored like 1 point in the first half. He goes into the locker room, and this was during his sexual allegation rape charges.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, "I'm not going to go out in the basketball world being defeated." And that's when he channeled Mamba. That's an MK Ultra powerful thing where he channels the energy, becomes the most venomous, poisonous, fastest killing snake, and he's the Black Mamba. The second half, he goes out, puts up 40 something points, ends up winning the game, and from that day on, he's referred to as the Black Mamba.
That happens a lot, you see, with a lot of celebrities and these sort of alter egos, you know, like with Beyonce and different people that have this other ego that they say is that the one that gets them through the hard times is when they switch into this Mamba, you know, this other character. Interesting.
That's what he did. He channeled through that MK Ultra brainwashing. He channeled the MK Ultra, became the Black Mamba. And that's what we remember him for, as the Black Mamba, with that killer instinct.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's an interesting thing. And of course, it was against the Magic. And that's where this black occult magic happens.
Mm.
Just another little tie-in. I keep looking at this Kobe thing because I'm a big fan of Kobe. And
I
have to be careful when I'm talking about this in kind of these ritualistic settings, because all my NBA fans are going to crucify me and say,
right,
what are you talking about? It's like, no, he's a public figure. I'm going to make these synchromystic connections showing what is going on. And this is connecting the crown to the corona. And this is what brings us to the next phase. All of a sudden, we have this major flu going on that shuts down the entire world. What is going on? There has to be something deeper, and that's what we have to look at. What is happening?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we shut down all the world economies for a flu that we know, you've done the numbers, you've seen what really is going on? There's something fishy, something, mm-hmm. something doesn't smell right. And so we have to start connecting these dots, and I like to always see the synchro mysticism in these connections. And so that's where it brings us to the corona. And the corona is the crown. It's the pineal. It's the seventh chakra. And that seventh chakra has a chance, because when we go into this 2020 on December 21st, 2020, that's a 22 and a 22, right? 12, 21, 2020.
Uh-huh.
That's a powerful 22. 22 is creation. So when we look at 22, always expresses the creation, the beginning and end of a cycle. So what is it about 22 that we see in everyday life? Well, we know that we have 22 chromosomes. Every man and woman all have 22 chromosomes. The 23rd chromosome determines whether you be a man or a woman. We know that the Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. We know that man is mostly made up of carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen. If you add that up on the periodic table, that's 22. We also have 22 paths in the Kabbalah. And so we also have 22 cards in the major arcana. Now, 22 is showing up in all the Hollywood movies. So they're programming you for this major event. And they're, and like I said, revelation of the method. They, their code of conduct, they always have to tell you what they're up to. Before they stick the knife in you, they're letting you know how they're going to sacrifice you. That's their code of, that's the psychopathic code of conduct. They mm-hmm. always have to let you know what they're up to. The, you know, the revelation of the method, it's called. And that's right from their playbook. So then we have, what movies do we have with the 22? First, Paramount Corporation. When you, right before you watch every movie from Paramount, it's got 22 stars. Okay. Then we also have in the movie Swordfish with John Travolta, there's 22 hostages. Then we have in National Treasure, at an important scene, you see the clock stopping at, you know, the, he looks at his clock, it's 2:22. Mm-hmm. Then we also have in A Few Good Men, 22 witnesses. Then we also have the movie Armageddon, that that asteroid is traveling at a speed at 22,000 miles before it's going to hit Earth and destroy it. Then we also have movies Room 222. Remember that
sitcom
we had? Then we have Catch 22, Mile 22, Jump 22 Jump Street. And then we have Jay-Z has a song called 22, and then T-W-O. He rhymes 22, T-W-O, T-O, and 2, 22 times in the first verse. Then we have, we also have JFK was killed on 11/22. We have 22 agencies of Homeland Security. You know, so the 22 is replete throughout all the movies through major events. So 22 has to do with expression of creation, of beginnings and endings, of cycles of time. And that's what we're leading up to. And that 22 is a very, very powerful thing. Because what is it? ID 2020?
Mm.
Right? And 2020 symbolizes a square or a cube, and this has been known, you know, for eons. And so our three-dimensional reality is built on a four-sided square. And so we start to see now the 22 brings us a four. And now as we look at the four, what is it about the four that represents Earth, that represents everything about being human? So as we look about, as we look at the number four, we went from 22 and all the symbolism in 22. Now we see the relationship of 22 and four. First, we have four cycles of time, you know, the four yugas, the four great ages, the golden age, silver age, bronze age, iron age. We have the four seasons. We have we also have the four elements, fire, water, air, earth. That's the building blocks for everything we see in this physical world, come from those four elements. Mm-hmm. And then we have the four cardinal points, north, east, west, and south. From the four builds man. Let's start with the brain. The brain is made up of four parts. We have the cerebrum, the cerebellum, the diencephalon, and the brainstem. Our cranium is made up of four bones. We have, you know, the frontal bones, the temporal bones, the parietal bones, and the occipital bones. Then as we move down, we have the heart. The heart, of course, has four chambers. We got two ventricles and two atriums. Our blood is made up of four blood types, type A, type AB, type O, and type AB. Those are the four blood types. Blood itself is made up of four components, red blood cells, white blood cells, platelets, and plasma. Those are the four components of blood. Then we have two hands, you know, we got four limbs, two hands, two legs, four fingers, four toes. And our DNA is made up of what? Four nitrogenous bases of adenine, thymine, guanine, cysteine. So four is representing physical man. And that's what we are. And that's what this 22 is, an end of a cycle. And when we look at this end of a cycle, it's fascinating to see that in the cosmic egg theory, are you familiar with the cosmic egg theory?
No.
Okay. every ancient culture, from the Vedics to the Egyptians to the Dagon tribes to the Navajos, all talk about the cosmic egg. And the cosmic egg is a torsion field. That torsion field is what encases the Earth. So people are saying, is the Earth flat? Is the Earth round? It's both. So the torsion field is the circle of the egg, and in that egg it has the outer shell, and then it's got the four domains of the Earth.
This is what you posted on IG, right? That beautiful like sacred geometry picture that you posted.
Uh-huh.
That egg. That was so beautiful.
The cosmic egg, and in that cosmic egg, in the center of that, it's like there's a crater, and in that crater there's land the size of the United States that has never been seen by humans. That's the original garden. That's where the North Pole comes directly into that, and that's Polaris. And in that Polaris is the Polarians, which are ethereal beings that gave rise to the four root races. And so each domain, there's four circles. And that's why when they say extraterrestrial, they're correct. We can't get through these other domains because it's blocked by these electromagnetic fields that we call the Van Allen belt, that we call torsion fields. But on December 21st, 2020, these torsion fields become permeable. This is why they're getting desperate, because it's going to open up these fields for exploration. And this is happening at the center of the Earth. We're going to have you're going to hear a sonic boom, and it's going to be like a nuclear bomb explosion, and they're going to tell you, you know, stay inside. But from that center is going to come this mass of coronal energy that's going to upgrade our DNA. It's going to, you know, all the SNPs that we have, it's going to start repairing our SNPs. It's going to start repairing our DNA. It's going to start opening up our pineal gland. And that's why this whole crown is about suppressing the crown of opening up, because they don't want you to go. We're ascending, they're descending. So we got these four concentric circles with the center of the Earth. That's Mount Meru, Mount Olympus, the Garden of Eden, that gives birth to the four root races. The four root races, the Hyperboreans, you know, the Anunnaki. Then we have the Lemurians, the Atlanteans, and then we have our root race, the Aryans. Not what Hitler, that type of Aryan, but we are the Aryan bloodline, which is the majority. We're ascending. We've been controlled and manipulated by something broke through these torsion fields back in ancient Egypt that have been controlling us since day one. They're descending, we're ascending, because we're entering the cycle of time. We have two cycles that we're dealing with. We have the Great Age, which is a 24, 26,000 year cycle. That's the short count. It's actually a 4 million year cycle. So they just broke that down into the short count, and the short count is a 24, 26,000 year cycle. We're completing a 6,000 year cycle coming to an end. That's a major reset. Then we're going from the Piscean age to the Aquarian age. That's a 2000 approximate year cycle. So that's another major cycle coming to an end. Big Brother and Coterie understand this, and they're preparing us. They're trying to prevent our ascension because they're descending, and so they're scared. And this is why everything is happening at this moment in time. And this is why they want to come in and vaccinate you, because all the metals and chemicals and toxins will prevent you from getting that download coming from Mount Meru, coming from Mount Olympus. That's going to be this cosmic explosion. And that's the Ouroboros, you know, that's the Northern Lights. And that Northern Lights connects to Polaris, and that Polaris connects to Ceres. And that's the binary star system that determines the ages, you know, from the Golden Age to the Silver Age, it determines the ages. And so we're on the cusp of this, which makes this time so fascinating. And that's the bigger story that is hidden behind this whole virus scam.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Okay.
I threw a lot at you, and it's hard to explain this without diagrams and stuff.
No, it's good. It's good because I can comb through some of this. And okay, so for me, a lot of this just rings true to the point that I don't even feel like I need to, you know, I don't have that many questions for myself. But I try to put myself into my listeners' shoes, a lot of my listeners who are like, what did he just say? Now, a lot of them already know how I am and how I think and feel about, you know, this kind of stuff and how I'm always exploring this. But I think where a lot of the questions come up is, okay, let's start with the descending and ascending. So these cycles, do we just trade with them? So are they going to ascend in the next 6,000 years or the next cycle, and then we're going to go back to descending? Or is this like, or are they like, did that question make sense?
Yeah, it's like a 24-hour clock. So the 24-hour clock expand to a 24,000 clock.
Right.
So we have, you know, the first half, you know, the first 12,000 years, you may be descending, and then the next 12,000 years, you may be ascending. We're on opposite with them. We're very new, and so we're very immature, and we're growing, but we're ascending. Uh-huh. They've been kind of controlling and manipulating, and they're on the descending curve. We're on the ascending curve. That's why they're desperate.
These beings that are, they're earthbound beings. They're in the earth, most of them. Okay. Mm-hmm. And are these the same as reptilian that David Icke talks about? Are they the same creatures?
You know, see, I don't know exactly who has, through the million year history we have, who developed the technology to break through these torsion fields. Someone, whether it was the Anunnaki, the reptilians, the Lemurians, the Atlanteans, I don't know who, but someone broke through a torsion field to control our earthly realm.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly who it was. And I think it's a multitude of species or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. I think there is a reptilian thing there. And I think there is an Anunnaki thing there. And they're always at loggerheads with each other. You know, they agree, they disagree, and they control this part, they control that part. So there's always some internal conflict, some in-house fighting amongst who's going to control we, the people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a part of their problem. But somehow they have the technology to break through a torsion field that we have yet to understand. And so these electromagnetic fields, like on one side it's positive, on the other side it's negative. But this is why we've never been to the moon, because we can't break through that Van Allen belt. That's how powerful it is. So we've been in our cage, in our earthly, kind of like the Truman Show.
Right.
Which kind of brings to mind. But I don't know exactly who is manipulating. I don't know if it's Anunnaki. I don't know if it's reptilian. But my gut feeling, it's a combination of multi-factions fighting for dominancy of who's going to control, you know, we the people. But we the people are ascending, and they're scared of that. And that's why their end game is going to get serious. And that's why they are going to up their ante, and they're going to do everything to prevent us from ascending.
Okay.
And that's why it's a spiritual war. It's an age-old spiritual war that we're up against. And I know that I'm trying to put together millions of years of history, and this is just my thoughts, and not just mine. There's other researchers that are thinking this, mm-hmm. that have done amazing stuff into it. So I'm just kind of going with some of the research that I've studied that makes sense. It talks to my intuitive side.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. This does speak to my intuitive side as well. I feel like I've always felt like there is some level of mystery going on that would answer a lot of the questions that I have about this planet and about strange things that go on. But why are they hiding? Like, why do they hide from us? Why isn't it more of an obvious, you know, why don't they present themselves or reveal themselves? It just seems like an odd thing that no one's ever seen these things, or no one's ever experienced, you know, what they're doing to us on an obvious way. It's very secretive.
Yeah, they're on a different frequency. You know, so our frequency is gives us our code of ethics. Their code of ethics makes pedophilia like acceptable, makes organ harvesting acceptable, because their code of ethics is completely different from our frequency. So their frequency keeps them underground, but they have the intelligence to control the governments. And so it's like almost time travel. You could time travel into the past, into the forward, and manipulate stock markets or technologies to always have that advantage. And that's what they're feeding their government, or the world government. So they're feeding them amazing technological advances. Mm-hmm. And so their energy doesn't allow them to be presented to us in the physical. That's okay. My guess so far, but that's a theory.
I think you just hit on something super important and profound, because this is why this stuff speaks to me. Because from a really early age, and I know a lot of people like this, you know, I had experiences that were unexplainable, that I knew were not right. Something was something, you know, and nobody could relate to me. So I would have these out-of-body experiences as a child, and I would see things and feel things that I hated, that were really creepy and really weird. And it was like when I learned about vibration and frequency, it started to all make sense. But then as I got older and I was still having them, and I could start to control them, and I could start to experience those realms, if you will, dimensions, have some control and some lucidity, I knew that it was real. And so that's why this stuff speaks to me, because I wonder if some people do have that. Like, it sounds like you obviously, like, what led you to this point where you could believe in something like this?
You know, as a kid, I had one of those real mystical experiences. You know, I think I was like 9 or 10. I'm riding my bicycle by the school, and I'm the only one there. And all of a sudden, I'm off my bike. My bike just moves, and I'm sitting there. I don't remember falling. I don't remember anything. I just felt so scared that someone, some invisible force, threw me. And to this day, I haven't been able to figure out. I just remember running home, leaving my bike, scared out of my pants. And I still, to this day, can't explain that. Mm-hmm. Now, as I grew older, I participate in many ceremonies with ayahuasca, you know, probably twice a year I'll do the ceremony. And when I drink the brew, my goal is to kind of tap into frequency. And in the frequencies, I got to feel other dimensional entities, some beautiful, ethereal, godlike things, and some of the most evil, satanic things. And so I wanted to confront the satanic things, like, what the hell is this about? And I never got that far in it, but I knew that it was as real as the day is real. But yeah. I couldn't describe it. It's such a feeling, you know, when you're in a psychedelic state of mind, and that psychedelic opens up the pineal gland, and the pineal gland is the serotonin and the melatonin. Between the light and the dark element is the DMT, the dimethyltryptamine. The DMT is that spirit molecule that connects us to other worlds. Mm-hmm. And so in the psychedelic state, you get this feeling, and it's hard. It's so weird, because part of it, you're going through physical cleanses, you're in a group, and so you hear people puking to the left of you, people right. screaming to the right of you. And I'm in my world trying to say, what are these other frequencies of entities? And that was where I was trying to discover. And it was real, but I can't put it all together. So I'm still searching and digging and trying to putting it all together. Mm-hmm. And what I like to do is it's got to have a syncretism to it. And so when we look at twos and fours and 2020s and all these things, there's a syncretism to this that's connecting. Does it prove anything? No. But does it validate something deep in my heart? Absolutely. So I'm going to keep going down that rabbit hole when I look at all these synchro mystic events connecting syncretically. And that's what I'm trying to do, is put all these pieces together as we look at the two, as we look at the four. Even in Wikipedia, you know what they say about the fours? I'm going to read this to you. This is right from Wikipedia.
Well, then it must be true.
Number four. So 4 is the only number that has the same letters as the number. It's another coincidence.
Oh, interesting.
So under logic and philosophy in Wikipedia, it goes, the symbolic meaning of the number 4 are linked to those of the cross and the square. Almost from prehistoric times, the number 4 was employed to signify that was solid, what could be touched and felt. Its relationship to the cross, the 4 points, made it an outstanding symbol of wholeness and universality, a symbol which drew all to itself. Where lines and latitudes and longitudes intersect, they divide the earth into 4 proportions. That's the 4 different realms that I was talking about. Throughout the world, kings and chieftains have been called the Lord of the 4 suns, the Lord of the 4 quadrants of earth, which is understood to refer to the extent of their powers, both territorially in terms of total control and of their super doings. That's from Wikipedia. That's not me making that up.
Right.
And so it's talking about this 4, and that's why 4 brings creation to life. And so it's a very interesting subject, but I got a lot more digging to do. I'm just in the beginning of my research.
It's so fascinating. What about, where does reincarnation fit into that whole, into all of this?
Yeah, we may go into other, when we die, you know, everything operates by the law of polarity. So if there's an in-breath, I can guarantee there's an out-breath. If there's a systolic, there's a diastolic. If there's a sleep cycle, there's an awake cycle, if there's a life cycle, there's a death cycle, if there's a death cycle, there has to be a life cycle. That's a universal law. So when we die, and that's what's the greatest paradox of them all, we were born to die. So right. If you want to find the truth, look for the paradox. And so when we die, our karma will determine, do we go into the spiritual worlds up there? Do we go into the heaven realms down there? Or do we go into other dimensions in our incarnations in other earthly planes? Okay. So in the Vedic, one of the oldest Sanskrit traditions in the Vedic textures and in the books of Vedic astrology, of Vedic cosmology, they talk about at the center of the earth, it expands out 8 billion miles of land. And again, separated by those 4 concentric circles of different land masses with oceans and mountains in each one. We may go into one of the other dimensions. We may incarnate into our same dimension, which I think 90% of us will. But some may go up into spiritual realms, some may go into the hell realms, and some may go into other dimensions here on earth. Is that kind of?
Yeah. So then that brings me to, so I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, and you know, that I've come in through a very interesting journey through my entire life to become a Christian once again. And we won't get into that. But where does a creator fit into all of this? A creator, not my creator, just a creator.
Yeah, there's definitely a God. And I can't tell you what God is or what God isn't. It's too indescribable to even begin to be able to look what they created. You know, when we look at the cosmic egg that every culture had, what is it about the egg? If you just take a normal egg, it has 5 concentric circles. Okay, it's got the outer and then it's got the 4 concentric circles. When a woman ovulates, that's in harmony to the moon cycle. The moon has 4 cycles. We have the new moon, then the moon waxes, then the moon becomes full, and then the moon wanes. That's in coordination with every woman goes through. You know, they start their new moon is the first day of bleeding. Then they go into the waxing phase where estrogen rises, the copper rises, and then we go into the ovulatory phase, which is when the moon is full and which is when the egg is fully created. And then we go into the luteal phase. That's the progesterone phase. That's where you need magnesium and zinc to bring down the copper so that luteal progesterone phase can kick in. And then if the woman isn't pregnant, then she's going to shed it. And then that will be the new moon, the first day of bleed. So there we have the creation of the egg story right there in our physical bodies. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say, as above, so below. If it's happening in us, where is it happening on the big stage? Then we look at this cosmic egg and we start seeing, wow, every culture has talked about the cosmic egg. Mm-hmm. Then when we look at etymology, Sweden represents Southwest Eden. Okay, that's right by that North Star.
Right.
Norway is the North Way. You just start seeing the verbiage in the etymology of words. They're trying to tell us a story about this concave center of Earth that is Admiral Byrd. Mm-hmm. Back in the 40s, I think, flew over this and said, there is a landmass that man has never been to.
Yeah.
And that's coming from an admiral.
Well, so, he flew into it, didn't he? He flew into like a massive, massive cave, like as big as a, you know, bigger than buildings, and flew into and saw it with his own eyes, and then was able to fly out of it.
Yeah. So,
and this is an admiral, and he goes on record. Yeah, I love that story.
Yeah, and remember the Carrington effect?
Yes.
That was in what? I think 1859?
It was like an electromagnetic pulse, right?
That's happened. What's going to happen at 2020, but it's going to be more magnanimous. It may shut off the grid. It may be like a sonic boom that's going to scare. They're going to scare us with this, but I'm telling you, that's going to be the download. That's going to be our ability to upregulate our DNA, to start fixing our...
Well, that's exciting.
That is exciting, but if we have chemicals and metals in us, we're going to get very sick. Okay?
Because we'll have like a massive detox.
We're going to have a massive detox. That's why, like, part of this was, you know, 2012 was when we really should have started doing the detox, mm-hmm. you know, back, you know, 10, whatever, 8 years ago. That's when we really started to prepare for this coming 2020, because you just can't detox in 3 months and think you're going to remove lead from your bones. Lead represents the planet Saturn. Saturn takes about 30 years to revolve around the sun. It takes about 30 years to remove lead from your bones.
Oh boy.
It doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
That's why mineral balancing is critical. But now, if we have all this garbage in us, we're going to have a detox reaction. For some, it will kill them. You know, as much as that breaks my heart, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Some people that have been doing the homework, have been cleaning up the diets, dumping the metals, hitting, you know, all the detox strategies, they may get a little sick if they still have metals in them, but they will go through this and they will upgrade their DNA. And it's not so much for this life, it's for future incarnations.
Okay.
So it's a very powerful, powerful day that they don't want you to know about.
Okay, so questions.
Sure.
So, did you watch Out of Shadows?
Yes.
Okay, and then did you happen to ever see Fall Cabal?
Yes.
Okay, so just want to, because I'm going to reference some of those. Okay, so then you know who Q is, QAnon.
Yes.
Okay, so for those listeners who have no idea what I just said, you'll have to look it up and start to educate yourself about it if you're interested, but this is what this is about right now. So Donald Trump, I wonder where you feel like he fits into the story, because according to Q, he's actually coming to save the day in a very interesting way, but he's coming to save the day. According to Revelation, the book of Revelation, and many books in antiquity, and including Nostradamus, this is actually a fight going on this planet between the, let's say, the cabal and Revelation would say just two beasts are fighting right now. So Revelation would put it as, and Nostradamus would put, you know, Trump and this whole movement into simply two different warring factions of bad. One is coming as darkness, the cabal. One is coming as light. And light is not necessarily good. So they're going to fight on this planet, and apparently the light is going to win. Where do you see that storyline fitting into any of this, if at all?
Yeah, this connects, you know, Revelation is 22, the final chapter, Armageddon. So there's that 22 again. And Trump, I'm hoping, and I'm still on the fence, I'm hoping he really is the Trump card. I hope.
Right, me too.
Time will tell. He seems like he hasn't, he's playing his cards and he has not showed his hand just yet. He has to play ball with the big boys and say, yeah, okay, we may have to vaccinate. So I believe, my heart of hearts tells me, I think he's the real deal fighting the good fight. Mm-hmm. And this is why Hollywood is trying to take him down.
Everybody. That's when I knew something was up. That's when I knew something was up, is when everybody.
You have the whole world trying to demonize him, and yet he stood his ground. So sure did. I've been a political atheist my whole life. I never trusted the right or the left.
Same
here. Here I am today saying, well, he could be our last breath of hope that we have to stop this evil, pernicious cabal from controlling eon after eon after eon. And this is why, when you understand cycles of time and you can control them, you become the king, because mm-hmm. you have the technology, you have the knowledge, the power to keep the masses in line. You know about all these things. And so I think Trump, is the good guy, and I think he's working to take this cabal down. That's
okay.
What I hope.
That's what I hope too. And I'm still feeling like I'm on the fence, and I kind of been that way my whole life with this stuff, because I don't trust anybody. But So then, do you remember the part about John F. Kennedy Jr. and about Trump's son, Barron Trump, and about that book that was written in the 1800s called Barron Trump's Underground Journey or whatever, and how he goes through some time travel. And then we find out that Donald Trump's uncle has what's left of Tesla's working plans of anti-gravity and potentially time travels works and research. And then all of a sudden it goes into this world of like, is this really happening? Like,
it's like fiction, but it's being played out.
It's being played out. And so I've been reserving I've been observing and saying, okay, we'll see what plays out if this Q information that's coming out, if these indictments start to happen, if these exonerations start to happen, if all this stuff starts to play out, we know there's some validity to this. And guess what? It has. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Flynn gets exonerated, and now it's like, it's so exciting to me, but it's also a little scary. But now I just read about, have you ever listened to Coast to Coast with George Norrie?
Not in a while. That's okay. What, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, I was into it, because that was like our first alternative type of experience that we had, where they would interview, who's that guy? Jordan Maxwell, I remember listening to him, and many other, you know, researchers in the alternative community. Mm-hmm. So I did listen to him, but I haven't listened to him in ages.
Well, I only bring it up for two reasons. One is because I think you should be a guest on there. I think you would be perfect guest for that show. And the other reason is because one thing George Norrie has always done since I've been listening back into before when he came along, because before it was Art Bell, but then George Norrie came along, he's been talking about the power grid and insulating our power grid on this planet, in the US, on this continent, basically, because of the potential for electromagnetic pulses and warfare from another country like China or whatever, and then sedating our power grid or shutting it down, and that could be, you know, certain destruction for the United States. And they go into depth into how that would happen and what would happen to, you know, just being out of electricity for 3 weeks and how that would turn into mass and utter chaos and, you know, millions dead. And so I was convinced that the grid needed to be insulated no matter what, because also the Carrington effect. We don't know if that's going to happen again, right? So my question is, if this sonic boom that is supposed to come in 12/26/20.
December 21st, 2020, on the winter solstice.
Oh, wow. I just
the great
said
conjunction Kobe's at 0 degrees Aquarius, where the pole shifts line up perfectly into the galaxies, allowing the download of all this cosmic energy coming into the poles, creating this Ouroboros effect that's going to spread out through the entire planet.
You mean we'll be able to see like Aurora Borealis throughout the whole planet, not just the northern?
Yeah.
Okay. So then 12/2020. That's this December 20th.
December 21st.
21st.
Yeah. And it'll be like 3 days, maybe 3 days before, 3 days after we may feel this effect, but it may shut the grid down for a month, for 2 months.
Okay. So that was my question. So my question was, if Trump manages to, which it looks like he is going to, insulate the power grid, he just signed an executive order. I'm loving these executive orders. He signed one to have it so that we insulate this power grid ASAP. Is that going to prevent us from getting a download if we, or you know what I mean? Like, it can happen anyway, even if the power, just our power will go down, but it's not going to like shield us from the effects of this thing that's happening. Yeah. Or who knows?
I don't know, but my gut feeling is they won't be able to stop it. I don't think they have the technology to actually stifle this cosmic thing that's going to happen.
Okay. Because my brain right away went to, well, then is Trump working for the better if he is trying to stop this thing from happening? And we want this DNA upgrade. We want this. I mean, like you said, it could kill us, but we also want this to happen. It's a cycle. It's a natural cycle.
That's all it is. It's a major cycle. And we have a chance to, you know, our junk DNA can be turned on.
Right.
So all our SNPs can start repairing all the damage. So we can be the real, you know, the book of Genesis to me is the book of genetics. So our genes can start repairing so we can be the true kings we were meant to be.
Right.
The powers that be don't want this to happen. And that's why they need these metals in us with these vaccines, and they need to quarantine us, scare us, keep us inside so we don't get the cosmic download. They're going to freak us out. And they may even detonate an atomic bomb to scare us. So we may see a false flag type of thing. So there's a lot of things that may play out. And I'm not into prediction because you can never predict anything because there's so many variables. But I do believe that we will naturally be feeling this cosmic energy coming from the North Pole, the center of our universe that determines all the magnetic energy. You know, all the compasses are set to the North Pole.
Right, right.
So it's a very powerful thing. So to answer your question, I don't know.
Okay. And then what you wanted to talk about the calcium shell. I'm not keeping you too long, am I?
No.
Okay, good. Okay. You want to talk about the calcium shell now, right? We talked about the cosmic egg and how is it correlated and relate to, and what is the calcium shell?
Okay. So when we were talking about the number four, when we think of the building of our physical world, it starts with carbon. We think carbon is number six on the periodic table, but carbon on its outer valency shell, the shell that does all the work, it has four arms to bond with, and that creates chemical novelty because carbon can make single bonds, double bonds, triple bonds, can bond to itself, can bond to oxygen, can bond to nitrogen, but it's the four. It's got the four arms to bond to things to make everything in this physical world. So carbon has to be an earth element. So when we start to look at these earth elements, we see carbon, calcium, silicon, all representing these earth elements. So when we're talking about calcium, we have to understand how important it is to regulate and modulate the calcium in us. Because if we want the cosmic download, we don't want the calcium shell on our pineal gland or in our glands or organs. And so all these people with this high calcium have to start breaking the shell down so they can be receptive for the cosmic download to affect our pineal gland. And so when we start to look at calcium representing Saturn, that's why, you know, I'm a Capricorn. Capricorn is ruled by the planet Saturn. That's an earth element. So we start to see these connections. And so with the calcium shell, we put up the shell to do what? To protect us. You know, we kind of like put up this wall of protection because inside we've been hurt. We've been hurt physically, emotionally, spiritually. So we have to put up this wall to protect us. That's on an energetic level. And so part of mineral balancing is to slow down this calcification. So to slow down this calcification, who modulates calcium? Sodium, potassium, and magnesium keep calcium in solution. When calcium precipitates out of solution, calcium is a cation. It needs an anion. The anions are your acids. Lactic acid, phosphoric acid, uric acid, the oxalate acids. So calcium binds to that acid. Let's say oxalate acid, because that's a very common one. And that forms your kidney stones, your gallstones, all your calcification in the body. And so that's why understanding how important it is to break down this shell is paramount if we're going to really be ready for this cosmic event. And so as we move forward in mineral balancing, sodium and potassium are always low on people where calcium and magnesium are always high. That's slow oxidation, premature aging. That's the great calcification. That's Saturn's return, the Grim Reaper coming to take. And so we have to slow that down. And so we have to dump a lot of this metastatic calcium, this toxic calcium. And to do that, that's why we have to do mineral balancing and detoxification. And that's why understanding when we look at a hair test and we see low sodium, low potassium, we need those adrenals to pick up. The adrenals is the battery that regulates these minerals, because sodium is mostly an aldosterone response to inflammation. And then to put out the inflammation, the cortisol has to kick in, and that's mostly a potassium response. And so that's why we see a lot of low sodium and potassium, because the aldosterone and cortisol have been dealing with chronicity and infections and metals and stresses, you know, our own internal stresses. So we keep burning through our adrenals, depleting our sodium and potassium. When sodium and potassium go low, it can't modulate calcium. Then calcium precipitates out and binds to the acid that becomes all our aging deposition diseases, whether it's cataracts, arthritis, arteriosclerosis, hardening of the brain, hardening of our joints, hardening of everything. And that's the great calcification. And that's what rigor mortis is all about. So when rigor mortis happens, we go into this great calcification, and that is the classic Saturn's return. The Grim Reaper has come to take.
Okay,
you can ask me some questions, because I was all over the place.
No, I followed along perfectly on that. That's exactly what I was asking about the calcium shell. So if you have a lead load, and most of us do, and that comes from primarily pollutant, right? Air pollution, right? From car pollution, from exhaust from cars and in the air. Is that where we mostly get our lead?
You know, I think most of us got most of the metals in utero. Okay, so we got it from our mothers, and then our mothers passed it on to us. And then we have environmental levels coming in from, you know, from the environment, from the paints, from the gasolines, from, you know, the titans of industry have polluted us. And so all the hits we've taken from in utero, another level of exposure, another level of exposure, another level of exposure. So it's hit after hit after hit. And if you don't have calcium in you, lead displaces the calcium. And that's what gets into the bones. And so to get that lead out, that's a 30-year journey to remove that lead out. That's why detox has to happen slowly, but it has to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, cadmium can stay in the kidneys for 30 years as well. So all these exposures have taken a hit on us, because we've been in the dark ages for the last, you know, 2,160 years. And so in the dark ages, you know, we have been not the brightest, you know, beings on planet Earth. You know, before the biblical flood, we were living to 200, 300, 400, 500 years. And then since that time, our age has gone down. We're lucky to make it to 80.
Right.
If we do make it to 80, we're arthritic, we're demented, we're, you know, we can't walk, we can't talk. That ain't living. Mm-hmm. And so cleaning ourselves up is absolutely a fundamental if we're going to evolve, if we're going to churn our DNA into what it should be. Mm-hmm. And that's why we got to contend with these Saturn metals. We got to contend with all the metals, because not all of them are Saturn related, but lead absolutely is. and that's Achilles. That's what brought down the Roman Empire. So the ancient Egyptians, the pharaohs, went to Rome, then Rome went to other parts and eventually became the United States. It's the same leaders. You know, they don't have an alliance to their country. They have an alliance to their banking cartels that control, you know, money is currency. Currency is current. Current is energy. They control the energy through the currency.
Wow. That was a good one. That was good. So if the metals are stable in our bones, that like lead, how does it show up in our hair test? Is it because we turn over the cells and comes
bone
out through our
hair? Remodeling every 7 years. So as okay. the bones remodel, we may see deposition of lead in us. And then if we pick up our adrenals, now we have the energy to evict these metals out, because you just can't dump lead into the blood or you die. Mm-hmm. So it has to be bound to a protein carrier. So it takes a lot of energy to remove these metals. So when you see sodium and potassium going up, you know that you're going to be ready to start dumping a metal. So I have a patient right now, and I just got his hair test back. He's been with me for a year, and he's been, you know, doing everything I've told him, and his sodium and potassium were very low. They just went up. They just doubled, all of them. You know, he's in a good range, and he's still feeling not great, but his sodium potassium went up. The next round, I guarantee you, he will dump metals because his energy, his adrenals have picked up, so he can have the energy, the strength, and the fortitude to start removing these metals from the tissues, glands, and organs. But it takes energy, so you're going to burn through your ATP, you're going to burn through your adrenals, then it will come, sodium, potassium will come crashing down again, but you will have removed one round of a metal.
Yeah. Wow. You know, when I first started the journey of detoxification, mostly working on my gut and doing some, you know, Dr. Medici and Dr. Marshall doing different types of detoxes, I was sick for 2 years. But, and I couldn't understand why. I was like, wait a minute, I should be feeling better. And they're like, no, you're definitely, you know, in a detox. So my whole thing was just like, gosh, I wish somebody could come up with a way to do this, to mitigate some of that suffering, you know? And so I love the way you talk about it in terms of getting ready for it, you know, preparing for it. So where does dry sauna and infrared sauna fit into? Because I've always believed and was taught that, you know, when you start to dump metals, it comes out any way that it possibly can. And it can, you know, you can get into the sauna and it can help come out through the fat cells and like underneath your butt cheeks and on the backs of your thighs. And you can just scrub the hell out of your skin back there and help to move these things out of your skin cells. Is that true with all metals or is that not true at all?
It's partially true. I mean, it's certainly a part of the scene. When we're doing sauna therapy, we're trying to get the sweat, you know, to start, you know, purging out the garbage that's in the tissues of our skin and muscles mm-hmm. and fat tissue, so we can start mobilizing it out. But where the sauna's really saving your kidneys. That's the key. You don't want these metals going through your kidneys. You want it coming out through another big, skin is a big excretory organ. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot easier when we can start mobilizing the garbage out through the sweat. Because if we don't, then it will go through the kidneys. And if it goes through the kidneys, then you run into serious trouble. That's okay. The beauty of sauna therapy. It's really preserving your kidneys. Why is America so fat? We're so fat and obese. It's not because we have an obesity epidemic. We have a toxicity epidemic, because the function of fat is protection, you know, insulation and protection. So when we have all these metals, first place it likes to go is into the fat. You know, and that's protecting our brains. So it's in the fat, but the fat will eventually kill you eventually.
Right.
It, you know, cosmetically, it certainly doesn't look good. Mm-hmm. You know, we see, you know, when we get the shots, you know, we see the grandma triceps, you know, that's because that fat is protecting right in that tissue where we got those shots. Mm-hmm. And so you always see these grandma triceps, and that's toxins in, you know, it's the fatty toxins in that fat deposit. So yeah. Sweating is a great fundamental, because we're really saving the kidneys, is basically how I want to look at it, mm-hmm. while removing superficial layers of metals.
Great.
You're not going to remove deep bone or deep brain or, you know, deep organ metals, but you're going to remove a lot more of the superficial metals through the sauna therapy while you're building up your adrenal reserves, your Jing, so you can have more energy to go for the deeper layers of these toxic metals. Mm-hmm. That's why it has to happen in stages. You know, and you know, the first 2 years of detox, you felt like shit. Mitigate some of those effects, that's where you have to modulate the program. We could say, you know, Kitty, slow down for a week while you're dumping this. We'll mm-hmm. stop forcing a detox so you can get through that layer. Maybe we come in with binders. Maybe we come in with homeopathic remedies to soften the blow, not to stop it, to soften it, because you still have to go through it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so if you have a migraine from dumping a metal, migraines are horrible. We have homeopathic remedies that can take a migraine that's maybe at a 7-8 that's debilitating. We can bring it down to a 2 or 3 with a simple homeopathic remedy. So mm-hmm. we have strategies to get people through this, but it's an art and a science. And so we have to keep peeling the onion, and we know, like, oh, you're going to go through a dump right now. So we got to prepare you psychologically. We got to prepare you physically, mentally. And it's really an interesting phenomenon. I've gone through many, many metal dumps, and none of them have been so bad. I've mm-hmm. had some bad days, but nothing has been horrible. Mm-hmm. But I have dumped. Every time you see a metal coming out of you, celebrate. That you're dumping your cancer, your Parkinson's, your dementia. And so as it comes out, there's a small price to pay for dumping your cancers and your brain diseases.
Right.
You may feel shitty for a couple of days. I get it.
Yeah.
Let's soften the blow as we do it. Let's do it in stages and keep building you up, so eventually we don't die of cancer. We don't, you know, mm-hmm. we go out on our terms. You know, it's the worst thing you see is these demented brains where they don't know your name.
Right. It's like,
oh,
a really,
my God, is that a nightmare?
Yeah.
So we have to learn how to die on our own terms, because the day we die is one of the most important days of your life, and you got to go out on your terms.
Yeah.
Not with morphine and all this garbage.
Right.
You have to go out like the yogis would go out.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I really love that. Well, I'm super excited to continue on with you, and I want to be able to share, have you back again and talk about my progress with this system that you do, because I think it's, I think a lot of people want to, because this, you know, so many people that have done a lot of work on themselves there, I call them professional sick people like me, where I spent my whole life just like, and then you become a professional, you know, wellness person where you just, that's what you do for a living. It's what I do. And I just all day, every day, it's all I do is research and guinea pig on myself, you know, experiment on myself and do different types of detoxes and support. And when people don't see benefit quick enough, or they don't see, you know, they, after a few years, they don't see much at all. It's frustrating. And so to have a method like this to get down into, you know, what we're made of, and to start to support that and become who we're supposed to be physically and spiritually, I think a lot of people are going to want to follow my journey with you on this. So that's exciting to me. And then as far as like your astrological sign, you know, when you sent me my paperwork, you were asking, you know, what time I was born and all of that. Without, you know, opening up a whole new hour of discussion, can you explain to the listeners how that plays into how I would handle metals, or how you would handle metals, or what does our astrological sign have anything to do with our health in general?
You know, it tells us about our constitution. So as I profile you, I want to profile your biochemistry, your labs, your psychology, your medical history, your astrological profile. And they're all important. They're all pieces of the puzzle. And so when, you know, I'm a Capricorn, so I have a strong Saturn energy. Saturn rules what? Bones, teeth, skin, spleen. So those are going to be my organs of weakness, constitutionally speaking. And then when you go into a Saturn cycle, those are the organs and glands that you have to be cautious of. So I'm in a Saturn cycle right now, and I just had a tooth pulled.
Oh, that's right.
An old cavity fell out that had mercury in it, and I knew that the tooth was rotten, and I knew that I had to get it extracted. I knew it would happen during the Saturn cycle, and I have a couple other teeth that may happen in this cycle too. So knowing your constitution is important. Then you also look at what day of the week you're born. So I was born on a Friday, born in the Friday hour. So Friday is Venus. So that's where copper comes into play. So Saturn is my calcium energy, my carbon energy. And then being born on a Friday is my copper energy. So to understand Friday, the day I was born, the day of love, and so every one of my problems has been copper and calcium. And so those are my strengths and my weaknesses. It's my gift and my curse. Hmm. And so knowing that, I know what's going to come up. If I don't deal with this copper, it will cause calcium to skyrocket, and that will be premature. Because what does copper do? When you start dumping copper, calcium has to go high to protect you, because copper is the most emotional mineral on the periodic table. And it's involved in all our serotonin and dopamines and all our amines and histamines and things like that. So when you start dumping copper, it can make you crazy, batshit crazy, filled with anxiety and depressions. And, you know, you're wired but tired, and your physical body is exhausted, but your mind is going a mile a minute. Mm-hmm. Calcium has to rise to put the brakes on copper. And that's that Saturn-Venus energy connection. Right. And so this is how we use the astrology to kind of give me insight. Oh, here's your weakness. This is what I got to be ready for. So yeah. I get a feel for some of your weak links, astrologically speaking.
You blew my mind when you, you know, came right back to me after I sent you that information, and you're like, oh, Thursday, liver, Sagittarius, boom. I was like, whoa, that's so funny. And you know, back when I, the very, very, very first time I met Dr. Marshall was in an actual seminar, and he was guiding the seminar, and, you know, I was so excited that he showed up at all, because he had stopped teaching at that point, the seminars. And, he said, can I get some volunteers? And I literally stood on my chair and put my arm up, and he's like, okay, excited person. So I came up there, and, I no sooner than I arrived at the front of the room, he said, oh, are you here with a husband or boyfriend? I said, yes. And he goes, bring that poor guy up here. And I was like, what does that mean? And he said, he looked at him and he goes, she's a stress case. She's got liver issues. She's high wired. She'd look at her bones, look at her. Like, he just went down the list of completely, and you did it in a much kinder way, but it was this amazing thing where he just looked at me, looked at my body type, and went, these are your issues, you know? And I was blown away by that. And same thing with this, with what you did. It's like, you didn't even, you know, see me in person, and you were able to pinpoint what I struggle with all the time, which is my, you know, my liver detox, you know, hormone conjugation, estrogen dominance, low progesterone, all just like this liver thing. And it was amazing. And I think that people love that insight about them, you know? So thank you.
It's, you know, Dr. Marshall was genius, really one of the true pioneers in our field in nutrition. So thank God we had Dr. Marshall to kind of pave the way. Mm-hmm. It's really, you know, we always have to give respect to the giants that came before us and what they brought to the table. And we all have a certain piece of the puzzle. No one person is the custodian of truth. We all have pieces of the puzzle.
Right.
You are a hero because your own healing, you have to go through your own healing journey before you earn rite of passage to help others. Mm-hmm. And that's at the Oracle of Delphi. Under the God of Apollo, it says, physician, know thyself, physician, heal thyself. So as physicians, as healers, we have to heal ourselves to earn rite of passage to help others. We have to know what it's like to go through a detox. We have to know when we're, you know, knocking on heaven's door, feeling like shit, wondering what the hell is going on. You know, we have to be able to live through these experiences to know that every time we recover from an ailment or a detox, we come back better, stronger, smarter, more intelligent, more wise, because we just let go of so much garbage. Mm-hmm. Even though during that phase, we may not feel great, but after, we always feel better. Mm-hmm. That's why each detox we go through, we keep raising the vibration. Mm-hmm. And that's why these great heroes that we have, and Premier Research is some of my all-time favorite products. Mm-hmm. It's like, thank God we have them. It's like, someone we can trust, that I don't have to, you know, question every ingredient. I know how authentic, you know, Premier Research is in their product. So yeah, love them. I don't, that's not all I use, but they have a majority of their products are in my protocols because of their quality. Mm. And that's why, thank God we've had these great clinicians to come before us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that was so darn good. And I'm so excited that I've wrangled you into being a regular guest with me.
I like to talk about, you know, crazy stuff to just basic minerals. I'm going to leave you on one last thing.
Okay.
The four fixed signs of the zodiac, Scorpio, Aquarius, Leo, Taurus, the four fixed signs, the four apostles, the four, but Scorpio, Aquarius, Leo, Taurus, S-A-L-T, salt, it's fixed in the stars.
You had to leave me with one thing that just blew my head off my shoulders. That is awesome. Salt. I love that. And the four apostles.
We're the salt of the earth. And that's why when they say we're stardust, you better believe we're stardust. You know, and so that's the importance of getting these minerals into us so we can be ready. Whatever is going to happen, sonic booms, no sonic booms, whatever the new world order is, get healthy. And getting healthy is the greatest journey we can embark on, because one thing I do know, we have to go out on our terms.
Yes.
And that's
amen
what we're preparing
that.
For. You know, so that's why we don't really focus on just symptom management. We're focusing on get healthy. And that's the ultimate goal. And so with the mineral balancing and detox, those are tools to help us achieve our real goals.
Beautiful. Well said. Thank you so much, and I can't wait to have you back.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness. I mean, I just can't even stand it. You know, I after I'm done listening to him, I just have to walk around the room for a little while and just like, I just hold my head in my hands. I'm like, oh my God, imagine if all of this is true. It is mind-boggling. And let's just say it wasn't true. It is still really fascinating. It is still it would make an incredible movie or a series. I would watch that. I would love that kind of thing. Just all of the mystical elements of stuff we don't understand about this planet and all the things we just, you know, we think we know everything. We think we know everything and we just don't. And I love it. So again, go check out my husband's program. Everybody loves Dr. Charlie. They love him more than they love me. Nobody loves anybody more than people love Dr. Charlie. I'm telling you, it's amazing. He's an unbelievable human being. And his program is called Dedicated Method. It's an online program to help you rehab your pain in your back and your shoulders and everything that makes you suffer when it comes to back pain. You know, it's so hard to live with back pain and shoulder pain, and just gets worse as you get older. And so check out dedicatedwellness.com and click on Dedicated Method, the Dedicated Method. How cool is that? And then you also want to pick up your Jigsaw supplements to support everything. I mean, after what Dr. Selig said on this podcast, oh my gosh, you cannot be without magnesium, friends. You cannot be. So check it out on Jigsaw Health. Click on and use the Kitty 10 coupon, okay? All right, friends, see you next time.